Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank.
Big Al and D-Mac's big story of the day is brought to you by Plumbers Local 3.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
How exactly does this happen?
Isaiah Crowell in the backfield. Crowell has room. It's caught by Crowell. Crowell chewing up yards down the sideline. Isaiah Crowell could go. Touchdown, Jets.
How exactly does that happen? Welcome to the show. It's Big Al and D-Mac. I want to start things off, though, Al, by expressing my sympathies to Bill Musgrave, whose father passed away. And it put him in a very, very, very tough situation as his dad passed away early in the week, and he did see the win through. And he coached, and the Bolin family was nice enough to allow him to use the charter airplane to go to Grand Junction for his dad's services. So, Bill Musgrave is a long part of Colorado sports history around here, and I feel for him. I believe his dad was in his early 70s. My dad is in his 80s, so I feel like it's too young to lose my dad, and I'm sure he feels the same way. So, Alan, I don't know if you want to share any thoughts, but
I thought it was just, for me, a heartbreaking moment when anybody loses a parent or a child. Either way, man, it's always tough, but when it happens during the football season, you're constantly reminded in the NFL, that the other team doesn't really care. The other team doesn't really care. And you try your best to pull it together and go out there and do your work as best as you can. And in the meantime, all these other thoughts must be in the back of your mind. When I saw Hugh Jackson, on Hard Knocks, when his mother passed away and then his sister passed away, it was his mother and his sister, right? I think it was two people passed away in a relatively short time. I know one of them was his mother.
I thought it was his mother and his brother.
Mother and brother. Okay.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah. Maybe. I know it was two family members that passed away.
Just brutal.
I saw it and I stopped watching the show after that. I'm like, you know what? I didn't need to see that moment. You know what I mean? It was just such a personal moment. And certainly I know what that feels like. This league, though, in this league, there's no bereavement period if this happens during the season. And you just have to find a way to rally around the guy that's hurting the most.
And I
can't imagine, though, trying to pull everything together for a football game while thinking about all of these great memories that he must have had with his father over these, 51 years of his.
Well, our thoughts and sympathies go out to Musgrave's family and the Broncos family, too. Okay.
I mean, he is a Colorado legend.
He is a Colorado legend.
That's right. He's
no
a Colorado legend. I wish he would have went to school in Colorado rather than Oregon. I played against him while he was at Oregon, and I was at Colorado. So I've known Musgrave for a long time and was my teammate here with the Broncos. So certainly my thoughts and prayers are with his family. And I want to say that man, my heart breaks for him.
In terms of the Rockies, if you can't hit with runners in scoring position, you're going to lose. And they were the worst team, I guess. I heard these numbers today. They were the worst team average-wise hitting with runners in scoring position this year. And I was in the clubhouse yesterday after the game, and it was dour, to say the least. And I see the players hugging each other, and, that's it.
See you next year.
Well, maybe. Maybe not see you at all. Who knows? I mean, that happens as well. So it's a sad moment when you have to say that final goodbye, and that's what was going on. It was a bummer. And so I went up to some, I'll leave his name out of it, but I went up to somebody who's in the know, and I was, bummer. And he was like, well, that's kind of what they've been all year.
And the worst year hitting for a Colorado Rockies team. And I said something about it early in the year, and I just let it go. And, because it didn't feel like it was run production that was a problem. But as far as this team goes, worst year run production in the Rockies history.
So while we were all intoxicated with how exciting everything was, perhaps we did put a bit of the blinders on that we probably could have expected to see this coming because it's happened earlier in the year. And they're going to have a philosophical shift in what kind of players they have and who they bring on the team. So that's a problem, you know, and that's nothing you can fix easily. I mean, that's a big, big philosophical Jeff Breidich sort of organizational decision. But they can't win like this. And although it was...
No team can win like that.
that's true.
You only got two runs in the entire series in 27 innings.
So we'll maybe get back to that at another time. But, you know, it's not much of a story. The story is it was really exciting. And we could not hit. We couldn't hit. That's it.
Even on that bullpen day, we couldn't hit.
And specifically, we couldn't hit with runners on base. So that's that. The end. And the payout for that is you got a couple of thousand Brewers fans that all made their way down right behind the dugout of the Brewers and were chanting for their team, and they were chanting MVP to Yelich, and we just had to sit there. And we had champagne uncorked in the visitors' clubhouse. That happened. So on the progression of going to the playoffs back-to-back years, hopefully there's more great things for this Rockies team. Yesterday wasn't part of it. Okay, to the Broncos. I want to play you Derek Wolfe with Troy Rank after the game.
See if we did good, see if we did bad. Same every week. I'm tired of talking about the same for 2 years straight. Something's got to change.
Mon just said you got the locker room in here that can regroup. You believe it? Like you guys have got
absolutely we can regroup. We tried to regroup this week. We tried. We had great energy at practice. Great energy coming out to the game. We started the game hot. Something much deeper is happening here that I can't even really understand it. You know? And it's sad because we got fans that are behind our bench talking about how we don't play with our heart and we're not playing as hard as we can. As hard as we can every single snap. This is our livelihood. Playing for our life out there. Playing for my family, playing for my wife, playing for my brothers beside me. So for somebody to say that we're not playing with our heart,
what's your reaction?
I think one thing about Derek Wolfe that you'll never get it twisted is that he doesn't mince his words. And I'm here to tell you that the Broncos got thoroughly outcoached against the Jets. Period. We got outcoached on offense. We got outcoached on defense. And we got outcoached on special teams. They beat us in every area.
We got outcoached on game management. We didn't kick a field goal down 17 points.
I heard Vance's explanation about why. It was your first question of the press conference.
No, it's my third.
Third? Was that the
I'll play
third?
It for you. I'll play it for you.
But I think this was a good
9
one.
9 minutes to go. You guys are down 17, and you decided to go for a touchdown rather than just kick a field goal. Why was that?
Well, simply because we were inside of the 6-yard line, and it was simply 4th-and-3. We're down by 3 scores, so it was no guarantee you're going to get back until inside of the 6-yard line. The field goal, we can hit a field goal from 35, 40 yards out. But what? A touchdown. I mean, we're right there. So 4th-and-3 is time to go. So that was my call, obviously, but that was the right call.
But it wasn't.
It was the right call.
It wasn't the right call.
I'm telling you, I thought about this when we were down by 14. When we were down by 17, I'm sitting there looking at this situation. I'm like, well, kick the field goal. You go down by 14.
Right.
But if you rationalize it, okay, do you kick the field goal?
Yes. You always kick the field goal. You're down 3 scores. You have to score 3 times, and it comes down to basic math about how many times can you possess the ball with 9 minutes to go. You can't.
I question that one.
You already got possession in the fourth quarter. How many times in a football game do you possess the ball 4 times in 1 quarter?
Once again, it's always, you know, and I'm going to tell him and the offensive coordinator, be more aggressive than less, okay?
But that's not being aggressive. It's not doing math.
It's very aggressive.
It's not doing math.
It's being very aggressive because what you're saying is that we're going to cut this lead down to 2 scores, and if one of them have to be a field goal at the end of the game, fine. But it was one that was questionable. But if that's not why they lost the game.
Oh, no.
Of course not.
It was just a bad decision amongst many bad decisions.
That was his call. That was his call. But the play call itself was not a great one. the play call was not a great one. And what I've noticed about this team is that we don't give our quarterbacks very many easy reads. You know, the ones that are, you know, that are easy. You know, the fly motion, flip it to the guy in motion, let him run with the football. That's technically a pass, even though it's really a run. It's technically a pass.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give Case Keenum those type of plays, and Case Keenum holds the ball too long. He is he's looking at way too much, and it's the game is much shorter than his attempt at the game. His attempt at the game is much longer than it needs to be for passes.
It was a historically bad loss.
It was bad,
and it got 1 yard from even being worse. If Cortland Sutton doesn't pull out his inner Don Beebe and make the tackle at the 1 yard line, I mean, it would even look uglier.
Yeah, it was a bad loss. It was a bad loss, one that I said. And next time I tell you we got a problem with our run defense going into that game against the Jets, don't tell me, look at them. They are only average. This guy had 40 yards. And I say, D-Mac, they're averaging 4.1 yards a carry going into the game.
Yeah, well, you can handle that.
And I told you that after seeing us against the Kansas City Chiefs, we have a problem with our run defense.
Okay, but I mean.
But nobody wants to hear it. No, nobody wants to hear it until you have one guy who absolutely figures it out and exploits you.
Atlas.
We have a problem.
Nobody would have expected or called for the Jets to run for over 300 yards.
Not 300, nobody. But if you told me all they were going to do was run the football, we're going to tell you they got a problem. We're going to have problems.
They're going to run the football because nobody can stop them. Of course, they're going to keep running it. I mean, they average, what, 14 yards a carry?
But do you know why?
Ridiculous.
Do you know why they had a great day?
Because they started running the football and they realized we couldn't stop them. Every team will always run the football if you let them. It's always the first option.
That's just such an amateur way to look at this. And I'm telling you.
Okay.
It's an amateur way.
Straighten me out. Give me the professional way to look at it.
The professional way to look at it is that we had one missed tackle that led to a big run. Okay. And that was on Roby. Roby had the worst game. He just cost himself millions because it looked like he didn't want to compete. Now, that one, it looked like Roby was out of it, okay? And I've never seen him play this way. Something's going on with him, and I just don't know what it is. I don't know if the moment's too big for him. You know, I just don't understand what's going on with 29 because he is a fabulous athlete. But that was the worst game that I've ever seen him play. You know, I haven't seen a cornerback play that bad in a long time in a Denver Broncos uniform. But with that being said, we got to hit the waiver wire. But, you know, Adam, it's tough. It's tough to find cornerbacks out there.
Adam Schefter is brought to you by Rox Heating and Air. That's ROX, Rox Heating and Air. Yeah, the Broncos seem kind of desperate in the cornerback position there, Adam. And I don't know what the answers are out there.
We got two guys that are hurt. You know, we're looking for help on. I don't know where we can find help at cornerback. It seems like, you know, every time I think about the NFL draft and what the Cleveland Browns did with getting Denzel Ward early, seemed like that was the right thing to do because this league needs great corners.
There's always a shortage of corners and there's a shortage of pass rushers, right? So you got to come up with those guys when you can. And Denver got the pass rusher. The Browns took the corner first. Denver got the pass rusher. Nobody was unhappy with that at the time. Everybody's happy that they got the best pass rusher in the draft, right?
Not me. So, I mean, I wasn't.
Not you, huh?
No, are you kidding me? I was not. I won't bore you with the details of literally the thousands of hours that I spent banging the table for a quarterback. I mean, including on draft night where I said that was awful. Do we have audio? Don't worry about it.
Hold on. Alfred was talking about cornerbacks. You're talking about quarterbacks.
Right, but yeah, he wanted a quarterback.
I didn't want a pass rusher. I didn't want a pass rusher. We had a pass rusher. His name was Shane Ray and Von Miller. You used a first-round pick on Shane Ray, and now you just want to throw him away. I mean, I'm not a fan of throwing away first-round draft picks. I'm a fan of sticking with the plan.
Well, I will say this. For the record, I always think it's a good idea to take a quarterback.
Quarter, yes.
Right, okay?
Yes.
I always think that's a good idea. To go that direction. So I was with you, D-Mac.
Thank you.
I thought Alpha was in the cornerback hunt. And I, you know, listen, cornerbacks and pass rushers are two of the hardest positions to fill in all of football. Well, those guys are just they're very difficult to find.
Let me ask you about. Oh, sorry, Adam. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No.
I'm curious what your thought is on a pretty historic day yesterday in the NFL, where four first round draft quarterbacks, first time ever in the Super Bowl era, all started and all won. What do you think the significance of that is?
That four, say it one more time. You lost me.
It was the first time in the Super Bowl era that four first round rookie quarterbacks all started and all won. All of them.
I got it. So Bradford, Darnold won, Mayfield won, Josh Allen won, and Josh Rosen won, right?
Yes.
No, is that right?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So, well, you know, the previous week, you would have said that these guys are busts.
They all lost. Right.
So what it says to me is that there is something in their rookie years. These guys are going to go through ups and downs. They're going to look really good at times, and they're going to struggle at times. I just think that this year was a big quarterback class. We all knew that, and everybody was expecting that. And so it's a situation where you have all these guys picked in round one, all of them touted to be good quarterbacks, all had bright futures. I just think it's kind of fluky. Like, we all knew it was a good quarterback class. They all won yesterday.
Right.
But like I said, they all lost the week before. Everybody's wondering if they basically, were going to be worth the picks.
Adam, is there a way to, well, I guess for our own purposes around here, is there a way to trade for another cornerback at this stage of the season? Is there a team out there that I'm not thinking of that is cornerback rich?
You know, it's funny. I was talking to some people in Chicago this morning. They're saying, anybody the Bears could trade for a cornerback? Their cornerbacks are. And I'm like, there are certain positions that just are very hard to fill. Cornerback are very hard. Pass rusher, very hard. Quarterbacks, right? They don't exist. That's why, to boil it down, just very simply, the draft is so critical. Like,
right.
You got to hit there. You don't do that, and it sets you back. You know, it's a setback when Paxton Lynch washes out.
Right.
It's just a setback.
Right. So if you think you need one, get them. I mean, I would say a 2-year deal with Case Keenan would be a sure indication that you may think you need one. That wasn't lost on me, but a lot of people were very excited about Bradley Chubb, who is, of course, Adam, having a hard time struggling, just like a lot of rookies at his position do. So where do you think
yesterday I'm watching TV and I'm saying to myself, boy, it's a dreary Colorado sports day.
Oh, it was awful. It was terrible.
The baseball season ends.
It was bad.
The Broncos defense gets trampled. The team gets trampled in New York against an ordinary Jets team. They're a decent team, but they're still the Jets,
right?
And so, yesterday was a horrible sports day for Colorado. Horrible.
Thanks for pointing that out, Adam. None of us thought of it.
All I'm saying to you is, C-Mac, I was completely aware of this as the day was unfolding, and I felt bad for all the great sports fans of Colorado. And I really did. I felt my God, because I hate those days, right? Like, it's just everybody's down and out in the city. You just feel it in the city streets and the restaurant, right? Like, everyone's disappointed. That's not fun.
Well, but at least it's 38 degrees and rainy today. So, we've got that going for us. Yeah.
Adam, at the beginning of the year when we were going through these, trying to figure out these different rules about tackling and what is targeting, we haven't seen very many targeting calls, but I think it really has affected the way that defenders are going after ball carriers and whether or not to use a helmet or not. And I think it really showed up big yesterday for us because of all the missed tackles or how to go about tackling. And I heard Mike Tomlin said that these rules are going to get people fired. I really believe that they are, although there have not been a whole bunch of penalties called on it. And certainly I thought Emmanuel Sanders was targeted yesterday and no penalty was called on it. It seems like it's over with, but is the emphasis gone now that they haven't called many of these targeting during this NFL football season? Can we go back to playing regular football? Is that what I'm thinking?
Well, you know, Alfred, there's been a lot of complaints about the officials for a lot of different things, right? There's too many roughing the passing penalties. There's not enough of this. They're not calling the lowering the helmet. You know, I think the biggest thing is that officials are overloaded, that it's too much for them, that you've had all these officials retire. You've got new officials coming in. And with the new officials coming in and with all the changes, there's just too much on these guys' plates. And it's a tough job to do. And there's so much that they had to learn. And they're so new to the sport. And there's so much scrutiny. And the camera angles are better, so we know what's right and what's wrong. That they're under way too much pressure with way too many rules. And it's impacted the performance that officials have turned in to me.
All right, Adam, who are the Denver Broncos today?
Not a very good football team today. If you allow your team to be gashed on the run the way that they were, that you know what it reminded me of? And Alfred would like this, or won't like this. I remember when I was covering the Broncos, and I'm going to guess the year was 1990, 2000, right around there. So, Alfred, you would have been there, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so I'm in Cincinnati. I'm in Cincinnati for a Bronco game, and Corey Dillon is just like he's going off. I mean, he's going off. Okay, this is an unbelievable story. So, I mean, he's running and he's got yards and yards and yards, and Denver's getting just drilled. Were you on that team, Alfred?
No, I was not on that team.
Okay, so Denver's getting drilled, and finally, like the Bengals make a play. The game's over. There's like 5 minutes left in the game. I'm like, I'm going to go down and go get ready to go into the locker room to talk to the guys, to write my stories. And as I'm in the tunnel in the stadium, in a game that was like well in hand, I hear the crowd going nuts, like bonkers. And I'm like, what just happened? What did I miss? Well, Corey Dillon set a single game rushing record against the Denver Broncos. I'm like, what? It was like 275 yards or whatever it was. I don't know, but it broke like Walter Payton's record or Barry Sanders' record for a single game. Oh, my God. Well, that's what it was like yesterday. When the Jets rush for a franchise record, was it 356 yards, whatever the number was?
323 total.
323. Okay, I was only off by 20
you were close.
Yards.
Yeah,
and Isaiah Crowell,
219
franchise record,
yeah.
219 is
yeah.
that the number?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean that's embarrassing, man.
278, by the way, we looked it up, was what Corey Dillon ran for that particular day. So
278. I'm like, what? When did that happen?
So it could be worse. That's what you're saying, Adam. I appreciate that. Yeah.
It wasn't a record,
right?
It was their record, but not an NFL record.
Here's the good part. They held Isaiah Crowell under 220.
There you go. Thank you, Adam. We'll talk to you next week. Adam Schefter from ESPN. Thanks, Adam.
Hey, welcome to Bristol.
Okay.
the Broncos allowed that Corey Dillon day, 37 rushes, 407 yards rushing and four touchdowns. On the ground.
407 yards. All right, so it could be worse. It could be worse. Not much, but it could be worse. The Big Three is next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank. It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
Al, I'm curious to your reaction to this question, to VJ.
The players on defense have full confidence in Joe Woods.
I do. I do, because they've been in the same system, okay, since Joe's been here with Coach Wade. So nothing's really changed, okay, as far as how we game plan, how we call the defenses, you know, and you know how we simply attack people. So I believe they do.
I'm not a puppet. I'm a real boy.
What do you think?
Well, he had a great game plan against the Kansas City Chiefs. Not a great game plan against the New York Jets. Or should I say, once his game plan didn't work, you know, he didn't adjust accordingly to the situation. So, didn't like this week. Loved last week. Didn't like this week.
Well, I'm bringing up, do the confidence have, the players have confidence because of the comments of Derek Wolfe and Chris Harris afterwards. Do you think they, everybody's on board with Joe Woods on defense?
Do I think everybody's on board? Never are you going to get an entire defensive room to like everything that you're doing.
Does it matter?
No, not really. I mean, all you have to do is do your job. Now, there are some things that are monotonous about playing defense that you'd like to shake up. And I have some suggestions about that going forward. But it just seems that when we line up and we are where we're supposed to be. We don't move around enough. I have some ideas about that.
All right, we'll get to that coming up, Bongos. Bomb, bomb, bomb me.
Three!
Well, it was one of the few times that I've actually seen a coaching staff get it handed to them. But what really happened is that Todd Bowles became the defensive coordinator for just one game. Defensive coordinator was out, and Todd Bowles stepped in, and he did a great job against Case Keenum. Case threw one interception yesterday. It should have been three. It should have really been three interceptions that were thrown. Do you think that it's time for Vance Joseph to just step in, if only for one game against the Rams?
Well, the way I feel about it is, I'm a big make a plan, stick to it guy. Now, when you're talking about assistant coaches, you know, there's wiggle room there. So you can do whatever you want. I mean, if you think it's going to be better, do whatever you want, including terminating Joe Woods. I don't care. But certainly that's not the plan. And certainly firing the coach wasn't the plan. So, to me, I'd stick it out on all levels until the absolute bitter end. Because what it shows to me is, if you make these dramatic changes now, is that your plan stunk in the first place.
Right.
So, what's the point of changing everything now? I think it's a panic move. You're 2-3. Crazy things happen in the NFL. And like I said, if you believe in John Elway, you think he's got a plan. This is it. Now, if you want to say that's a terrible plan, then okay, but there's nothing you can do about it now. You're stuck with it. You can re-examine it. And that's why I have two huge suggestions for the future that don't really mess with the plan, but they're significant. But I need a little time to explain it, so I'll bring it up coming up.
Three!
Alfred, the Rocky season was?
It was anticlimactic.
Mm.
Not getting that fourth game at home, at least getting it to...
the Cubs win was so exciting.
Yeah, but there was there was no excitement to be had, you know, yesterday.
It was tough. And boy, that crowd was so into it, and everybody... I mean, it was awful weather, and they were packed and loud and just waiting for that moment to explode. In fact, the crowd, down 6-0, was kind of all there when Trevor Story hit that double off Yelich's glove, and the crowd really got up. You could feel this sense of excitement. But boy, did we just lay down, man. We did not come through. No other way to say it. And there's Kyle Freeland. I'm in the clubhouse afterwards, and I'm looking at Kyle Freeland, and never even played.
Never got the ball.
Never got the ball, Bongos.
Three!
Have you seen the Rams?
Yeah, I'm planning on digging into them tomorrow, but I saw highlights of their game yesterday. They had some injuries yesterday. That was a pretty gutsy win by them, by the way.
You know, the this
couple
sure feels a lot like last year's run where we had games against the Patriots and
Philadelphia.
Games against Philadelphia.
Right. Like, wow.
We could be looking at...
Good luck, Brock.
We could be looking at a situation that is similar where we're seeing the Super Bowl contender from the AFC
yep.
one week, and then... 2 weeks later,
oh,
the Super Bowl contender.
It's brutal.
for the NFC.
The Rams and the Chiefs, 2 out of 3 weeks. And a short week in between against a team that kind of has a little mojo going. Yeah, it's breathtaking.
It feels like, you know, we're back in the Twilight Zone. I mean, you, when you see teams that are playing in the Super Bowl, you know that those are great teams.
Well, Derek Wolfe said something about last year on purpose. He didn't misspeak. You know, these are his feelings about, you know, what he's being reminded of. And it's hard. It is almost impossible not to compare this game with the Bills game last year, where you go to Buffalo, oh, we're going to beat the Bills. You know, what are they? Nothing. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, you got to put some perspective on what happened. We got shelled by a team with a rookie quarterback.
And we didn't make him throw the football.
No.
We did not make that team one-dimensional all day.
Just an average running game. We're not talking about NFL superstar running backs here. They sure looked like it yesterday. No doubt about it. We'll dig into it coming up, Bongos.
Three!
All right, so we got all sorts of things to get into. And the most common question is, you know, how does it improve from this point? We'll explore it next.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
All right, I do have some ideas, but I know you're going to hate them. So,
first of all, hold on. We got to talk about this thing that just happened.
All right,
happened.
So I'll wait.
We got to talk about this thing that happened before we get too far into the show and not give it the proper attention. Marquette King was cut.
That's right. I was back at Dove Valley today.
Wait a minute. So, let me make sure I get this right.
Mm-hmm.
We sign a punter who comes here.
You should take a half step back first. We traded our 7th-round draft pick, who was a punter, to the Giants, and then signed the punter.
Yes, and then we gave up
on a 7th-round draft pick.
Right, and we realized that this guy is not a fit for us, so much so it sounded like the altitude was a problem for him. Like, I've never, you know, one of my best friends is Tommy Ruin. You know, our great punter here at the University of Colorado, All-American, Mr. Everything at the University of Colorado, and also our punter for Super Bowls 32 and 33 here with the Denver Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Great friend. He said, it is every punter's dream to punt here in Colorado.
Right.
And we have a punter who didn't like the altitude.
Claimed he was injured. He sent a tweet to John Elway thanking him and said, injuries suck. Blamed an injury, although the Broncos didn't. The Broncos said his injury, whatever it mysteriously may be, because nothing was found on an MRI, was not a factor.
That is getting it right. And you probably should have got rid of him a lot earlier.
Got to eat $1.5 million.
It's okay. It's okay.
Move on.
I mean, golly.
But you got rid of, here's again,
such a big deal. I mean, you have no idea how
again,
big this guy was too big for his role here in Denver. And maybe John Gruden got it right before he even showed up.
Of course he did. Of course he got it right.
John Gruden knew just enough information to know that this guy is not the kind of team guy that I wanted.
Yeah, there were plenty of off-the-field things when paired with his poor performance to give reasons to get rid of this guy. Rightfully so. But I'll go back to why I don't think you should fire VJ right now. A lot of people want to fire VJ. I'm not one of them. You got a plan. See it through. And if you can't formulate a plan to see through, why are you in charge in the first place? So when you draft Riley Dixon in the 7th round, that's a plan, isn't it, Al? That's a plan.
Yeah.
And what exactly did Riley Dixon do so poorly that led him to being cut? You realize he's kicking with the Giants now, and he's not spectacular, but he's very solid. He's in the NFL. It makes no sense. I mean, none. It never made sense. For what? What was the benefit of Marquette King? And you cost yourself, you know, $2 million. and a lot of grief and a lot of issues that
in a locker room that didn't appreciate this guy being there.
It was goofy. You had Shelby Harris, who was his friend, who was trying to stick up for him. You had Emmanuel Sanders, who just, you know, Emmanuel wasn't friends with Marquette King, and he's out there trying to talk about how great Marquette King is. You know, you have a lot of weird stuff because of the punter. It's like the most ridiculous thing of all time. You know who's awesome? Brandon McManus is freaking awesome. You know who else is awesome? Casey Kreider, our long snapper, who hasn't made a bad snap and keeps his head low, and there's no issues. We had a snapper, Aaron Brewer, who got so out of control on the plane back from the Super Bowl, he lost his job with the Broncos. I mean, there is something about...
Flavor Flav!
There is something about knowing your role, Al, and your place with where you are. And whatever, it's one of those rare occasions, I really, really believe, where your off-field issues have an impact on the field. Doesn't happen all the time. A lot of guys are fine. You know, they have all sorts of crazy things happening to them off the field, and they produce just fine. But King wasn't one of them. It was a good decision to let him go, and it was a mistake to bring him here in the first place. I'll say this, too. Tremaine Brock, why'd you bring him here? Pac-Man Jones, I get. Like, Pac-Man was pure desperation. But Tremaine Brock was like a plan. You're paying that guy $3 million a year. You signed Tremaine Brock a long time ago. The waste of money this year, Alfred, with guys who just aren't producing, it's stunning.
Oh, man. I just thought...
You know, Pac-Man Jones is Jamie Moyer of the Broncos. He's hurt again, which is completely predictable of a 35-year-old cornerback. Totally predictable. He was hurt all of last year. Never mind the off-the-field stuff. Football reasons he wasn't, you know, but we are in a tough situation now, Al. I mean, what team isn't going to try to do what the Jets did to us?
Oh, well, you can fix those. You can absolutely fix them. You can fix those issues. All you simply got to do is, in tight bunch situations, you just got to check to a zone. If you think that that team has any inkling of being a team that is...
Who do you trust to make those calls?
I think Joe Woods. See, this is what I was going to tell you when we first started the segment, to start the show. So much about football is about learning from past mistakes and not making those mistakes again. When you are part of football in general, like if you were in your first year coaching football, just imagine how different you would be in year 10. Mm-hmm. And as a coordinator,
agreed.
You know, and as a coordinator, you know what? The one thing that a guy who was a defensive back, the one thing that he thinks about first is the pass. Okay, he's always thinking about the pass. But really, coordinators that come from the linebacker position, you know, those guys are actually that come from the linebacker and D-line position. It's mostly linebacker position. Those guys are thinking about the run. So, in his defensive philosophy, he has a philosophy.
Woods?
In Woods' defensive philosophy.
Okay.
If a guy blocks, then you replace. It's called block and replace. So, if there's a crack block that took him out the play, you are now inserted into the run. Well, what happens when that guy actually is standing in formation or close to formation, and he runs out to the flat like it's a pass? You know what that does? It takes the defender and removes him from the box, so he's really not involved in the run game. Now, I saw this at least four separate times on a big run from Isaiah Crowell on the right side when Bradley Chubb was over there, and it looked like he had force. He didn't have force. He had man-to-man responsibilities. On his man-to-man responsibilities, the tight end blocked down. Guess what? What did I always tell you about man-to-man? If he goes to the toilet, give him the toilet paper. You go with him wherever he goes, okay? So if he blocks down, you go with him because there should be somebody to block and take care. I mean, somebody to replace you when the block shows up. And this time, there was nobody there because of the scheme of the defense. The defense yesterday, and when I tell you we got out coach, the defense yesterday didn't have a chance. They didn't have a chance because they had a blocker. They had a hat for everybody in their three wide receiver set, and we had one missed tackle that cost us a 77-yard long play, and we call it two missed tackles when Bradley Roby and Stewart. That was the only one, by the way, of all of those plays, that was the only one where the runner didn't, you know, did it by himself. All the other ones were schemed.
There's something that can be fixed for this team, and nobody has talked about it on The Fan all day. I'll let you know what it is next.